Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.
I like sucking, but I ain't gay.
Legit bad podcast.
Fuck those honkies.
Kick ass.
Welcome to Costco. I love you.
He really knows how to suck a wiener.
Hey, welcome back to Legit Bat, another episode. We just keep doing this. I'm Joe.
Hey, I'm Jen.
Hey, I'm Ben.
Okay, I forgot to clue you in on that we were going to try that on an intro.
That's fine. So, I figured it out.
Okay, cool. You catch on quick. I don't even think we have anything to mention before the show, so we'll just introduce our guest, the great Ryan Dean from Dangerous World, and the great and powerful Matt from the Great Deception Podcast. We've had these motherfuckers on so many times, I can't even count. So we were going to get Ryan back on, and we talked about it a couple shows ago, and we're like, well, let's get Matt on too. We haven't all hung out together, well, I guess since Master Debaters. And if you haven't checked out that show, definitely check that out every Monday on Great Deception's feed. And I think Ryan puts it out too, right?
Yeah, I do it a week later, man. You know, I'll do a little intro up top and post the previous week's episode.
Very nice, very nice. And Matt, why don't you just start us off by telling everybody where they can find all your shit that you do.
What's up, guys? How we doing?
Good, buddy.
Good, good, good. Yeah, sorry, I've been running around all night. My son's sports are kicking in, so he had jujitsu and baseball tonight, and so I'm getting down, I'm getting my bearings. But yeah, you can find me at the Great Deception Podcast on Instagram, YouTube, Patreon. You know, go to my Instagram. That's the easiest spot. There's a link tree. You can find everything.
Perfect. And I feel you with the sports. My kid's only playing one sport, and I can't even hardly make it to any of the games because work. And they always do it at the most retarded times, too. They're like, how about 4 on Tuesday? Like, everybody's at work at 4 on Tuesdays for the most part. Not Ryan, but yeah, most people.
Yeah, his jiu-jitsu starts at 5. I'm like... And it's 30 minutes away. So it's like, and I got to pick him up at school. I live 15 minutes from a school. So I go pick him up at school, bring him back, which is 15 minutes in the opposite direction, come to my house, get him changed, and then hit the gym.
One of those things where if you were to go straight from the school, you'd be sitting there with your thumb up your butt for a half hour, or you can go home and barely have enough time to waste the gas to go back and forth. I hate those kind of appointments.
Yeah, because if I go straight there and he's in his gi, he's going to spill something all over his gi, and you know, he's going to not be able to do his class. So I'm like, yep. Yeah, you're absolutely right. It's like, it makes no sense, but it works. And as crazy as it is, it gets the job done in the end.
We got really lucky with that because with my job cut down in my industry to 8 hours for the first time in a year and a half. And I'm off at 2:30 now, and my stepson's karate in his gi is at 4 as well. And so it ends up being that it's 5 minutes down the road in the same trajectory I take from work. It ends up working out great, but 99% of the time, especially when I have to work late, it's like, I don't know what to do, man. Like, if I got to stay at work, I got to stay at work. It's not like I can, you know, pound it out that fast or anything. It's just, and he'll do the same thing. If you put it in him early, oh, fucking, the whole thing looks like he didn't take a shower.
You can pound it out faster than you're saying, I believe.
Yeah, but. I wasn't trying to laugh at that, but it sounded rough.
Ryan, before we get going here, tell everybody where they can find you and all the shows you do, because you're doing this full time now, and you do so many goddamn shows. Every show I turn on, I swear to God, Ryan's on it. I'm like,
dude, he is the busiest man in the game right now.
No, you guys are too kind. But no, you know, I try to do 3 shows a week. I was trying to do the thing where I was doing like 5. I think I'm settling at 3 or maybe 4. Trying to do like more stuff for the Patreon people and stuff like that. But you know, I don't have any kids like you guys. My dogs, on the other hand, don't do any sports. They're a bunch of fucking bums here. So like, they're just sitting around. They eat for free. They get like free health care over at this house, you know. So it's like a nice little socialist world for them. And you know, it kind of sucks. But Ryan, at the same time, I love these damn animals.
Are you doing like longer form chats now, or are you keeping it pretty much just like hour episodes?
Well, so like the normal episodes, it's still basically one exclusive episode a week, where it's like an hour free. And then, you know, whatever goes over an hour, I put on the Patreon. And I'm mostly just doing solo stuff. It just kind of works better for my show. And then I'll do like the news show, which is Conspiracy Underground News Team, Cunt for short.
Cunt.
Yeah. And it's a fun one. And then I'll release the week later Master Debaters too. With some.
And then you got Casual KO too, buddy.
Casual KO, but that's like a separate thing. I just like, you know, when we were doing it on the other like private feed, it was only getting a few listeners. So I was like, let me just put it over here.
What's that about? You still have to do that show.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
It's not like it produces itself, you know. That's what I'm saying. That's another show that you do every. It's not. Doesn't matter if it's Dangerous World or not. It's another show you're doing.
Right. Right. Yeah, it's about mostly the UFC, but it's like MMA. Ooh, shit. Like, it's, you know, awesome. Predictions. It's fun, man. We just have a good time with that. And it's like,
I would love to get in on that.
Dude, yeah, you're welcome to. It starts late. Actually, it'd be this time of year a little earlier for you, but you're welcome on, dude. Any of you guys are, man. It's fun. We just talk about bets, and then we talk about, like, you know, the cards that's coming up that week. It's a blast, man. It's what I do to decompress from this crazy shit.
What days do you do it? Because if it's late, the only time I can do it is like a Friday.
Thursday night.
Okay.
Usually, we can make some arrangements though. You know, this dude that my co-host is out in Australia. What's that?
If it's UFC or MMA, I'm in. I am constantly watching backwards fights to events that are coming up. It's a whole different thing than, you know, 16 years ago when I started watching it. Even looking back at the fights that I saw at 16, I see them totally different now. Yeah. I wouldn't consider myself in any way a student of the game,
right?
But I really like analyzing it. It's a lot of fun.
Yeah, dude, it's a blast. Watching
people get their faces punched in. That's
most
people. Where else can you see that besides San Francisco? But right. Ryan or Matt, I'll leave it up to you guys. What's something that's been tickling your fancies lately? Anything crazy you've been diving into, Matt, or anything you've figured out, Ryan? Because for the listeners, anybody who wants to find a more information-driven show with people who do research, that would be these two guys' shows, not this show. But that's why we have them on, is because they actually do research. So anything in particular you guys have been looking into lately?
Matt, do you have anything? I was just going to go back to my default conspiracy iceberg.
Oh, dude, I love that. That's always fun. Yeah, no, I've just been looking into, I'm more on like the electric universe side, like a lot of ley lines and looking at ancient architecture. And one of the things that you find over and over again is that regardless of the religion, so to speak, there's sacred grounds. And whoever owns that ground at that time just builds on top of the previous. Or what we find is a lot of the Catholic churches back in, you know, way back, would take these Druid or pagan temples over, just take the relics out, put them in the basement, and then take over the building and claim it as theirs. Now, they could have, you know, demolished it and rebuilt, but there was an edict from the Pope on three separate occasions, not to touch the buildings. You can do whatever you want, destroy the relics, but don't touch the buildings. Leave them where they are.
Where is this, Matt?
This is across Europe, France for the most part.
Okay.
And one of the interesting things, there's a book called The Sacred Network by Chris Hardy, and it's all about France and ley lines and the architecture in France and how the cathedrals, there's certain what they call ley lines, like there's St. Michael's line that has eight different St. Michael's buildings on it. And it stretches from Ireland to Jerusalem. And then there's another line that goes from, you know, like England all the way across the United States down into South America. And what you find are these significant structures along these lines. Now, could it just be coincidence? Or is there some energetic field that they're tapping into in this ground.
Well, it's the same with the 33rd parallel, right? Isn't there all kinds of buildings that are on that same line? I don't remember which ones they were, but
one of them. Yeah. I mean, there's, and it's funny because the more you dig into it, you start seeing there's all these, and the one thing that's tough is there's no one agreed upon set of ley lines. Right. So you can't go and say everybody agrees or the majority agrees that this is how the ley lines would look. No, nobody really knows. Like some people say it's like a grid pattern that covers the entire realm. Others say that, you know, it's more in a north-south pattern. Some say it goes east-west. Some say it's, you know, stronger near the poles or the equator.
Well, how are they coming up with that?
What's the unit of measure? What are they measuring?
That's the other thing. How do you measure this? Well, there is some magnetism that they can measure. Like when they go, you know, those giant heads, statues that they found?
Easter Island shit?
Yeah. Well, Moai. It turns out those things are extremely magnetic. So what they're finding is that these rocks, along with where they are, it tends to have a water source, right? And what do we know about water? It's very conductive. So there's usually a water source at the base. Then there's some sort of rock structure or cavern. And then there's some sort of building. And so it almost forms like a funnel. So from the ground, it's saying the energy is coming from the ground, going to the water. From the water, it's going to these rock. Now, the older buildings, had a lot of what's called piezoelectric energy in them because they were made of a quartz, a silica-based concrete. So that was highly conductive and energetic. So they're saying that this energy is coming through the ground, going up into these structures. And then what's usually on the top of these structures? Some sort of spire. And that would send it then to the realm, and it would form almost like a toroidal pattern, right? Like, so you have the tower in the middle,
the donut shape,
energy just comes and loops around, and then you have all these looping circuits along these lines. So it's interesting, you know. I don't know if I buy into the whole ley line or how I buy into it. Now, what I do believe in is I definitely believe there's some sort of electromagnetic field that we are in, because everything seems to be based on energy.
Yeah, and like you were saying, mainly electricity. There's so many people now that are on the electric universe train that are just, they're like, they think electricity is really the only force in nature, or, you know, one of the only ones, and that gravity is based on some kind of electromagnetism. I can't even say that word. But weren't the Easter Island statues, weren't they huge too? Like they dug them out and they actually have full bodies and shit.
Yeah. Well, those are just the heads. Yeah. Yeah. Well, that's like,
go ahead.
It's like a third of the actual size.
That's crazy, dude. Yeah. Where do you sit on the grid? Like on the ley line grid? Do you think that it's like, cause I've seen the triangular one and that one seems kind of like legit to me. There's a lot of like the main lines that are thicker, like more basic ones, and then there's other ones that kind of shoot off that. And I heard that if you take like a cube, a five-sided kind of dice sort of thing, and then a six-sided, a seven-sided, and an eight-sided, and you put those all together, that's all the ley lines in the world right there.
It could be. I think in the end it has some sacred geometric pattern, right, in the end, because everything else does. Everything else is fractal in this universe. Why wouldn't the grid be fractal? But looking at it, it's tough because I don't know what to think at a base level, right? Is there one model that I tend to agree with? Not in general. I don't think there's one that is spot on. I think all of them, because it depends. Are we looking at a globe? So are we looking at a sphere, or are we looking at a plane? That would impact the way, I mean, it's not going to impact the shape of the lines, because the lines are going to run, you know, that way. I think they run like a battery, right? You're going to have two poles. And that's what we have, north and a south pole, right? And I think they run in that direction. Now, do they also run east-west? I think it's possible. I haven't really dug into the, and I see that's my weakness is I'm not a physics, a science guy. So when I look at this stuff, I'm looking at it more of a on the geography side of it.
You got to trust the science though.
Well, that's why I go to people like Dave Zed, who's an absolute genius, and he takes the science of it and just blows my mind. And
I don't even understand what the fuck he's talking about half the time.
But it's beautiful.
Talk to him, but every time I listen to a show, I'm like, I feel retarded right now because I have no idea what those last seven words were. But he seems to know what they are, so I'm just like, oh, what do you think about like stuff like the Bermuda Triangle? Oh, Ben, did I cut you off? Are you going to say something right there?
It's fine. It's past.
Oh, all right. Because my kid's super interested in the Bermuda Triangle. It's something I haven't thought about in a long time because it seems like one of those fluke things. Do you think that could be some kind of convergence of these ley lines or some other kind of magnetic anomaly that just sucks things in?
Yeah. I mean, there's another theory out there called the 12 vial vortices.
Yeah.
And what it is 12 points on the Earth where these supposed ley lines meet, and the convergence is the strongest. Now, if you look at it, it's basically 10 lines that go basically parallel with the equator, right? And then there's two, one at North and South Pole, and that's where the vortices are. Now, one of them happens to be right in the Bermuda Triangle. Another one happens to be, what's it called? Devil's shit. I can't remember now, but
where's it at?
Let me pull up the map.
I was wondering if you're saying like Devil's Peak, like the Dyatlov Pass.
Yes. It's the famous, I can't remember the name of it.
That's another interesting thing is all these places that are kind of anomalistic always have devils or death or something like that in the name.
Well, a lot of that is to keep people away from it, right? It's to use that inversion to say, oh, you're going to die if you go here, so stay away. When in reality, it's a powerful place, and they're going to keep it for themselves.
There's that spot there in the Finger Lakes that Hunter Biden has tattooed on his back, that little location there called Lucifer Falls. And that's like a super weird spot in New York.
Huh. Well, we can trust that because Hunter is super normal. So
he's the smartest guy out there too, you know, like
guy, but Joe knows. Yeah.
Right. So yeah, it's just strange when they throw those out there, Devil's Staircase and all those places.
Hey Joe, can I share?
Yeah, I think I have it set. Yeah, I think so. Do I have to go to advanced? No. All participants. Okay. Yeah, there you go.
So this is, these red dots are the 10 here. So you see right there is one where the Bermuda Triangle would be. It'd be in the area right there off the Florida coast. You're looking at one in northeastern Africa or northwestern Africa, down in South Africa, just east of India or west of India, and then out in the Indian Ocean. You're looking at the Pacific Ocean has a couple. And then obviously you'd have the remaining two would be at North and South Pole.
Well, that's a cool map because it does look like sacred geometry type of shit. But again, how are they? Every time I see one of these, like what we talked about a little earlier, is how are they coming up with this? Like, what is their fucking formula for making all this?
Yeah, and this guy, he started with these 12 points. He worked off the equator. Right. And that's what some of this is. This is math based off of the equator. And then they take certain, formulas or whatever, and then they're going to draw lines, and that's going to get them to the next point.
Dude, what do you think of the pentagram of blood? Have you seen that?
Pentagram of blood?
Have you seen that thing?
No.
Let me see if I can find a picture.
I'm intrigued.
It's a lot like that. And there's some all around the world.
So what do you guys think about the idea of electric universe and stuff like that? I mean, from a scientific standpoint, I'm with you, Joe. It's way over my head, but I'm intrigued to hear what people think of the idea.
Well, I know what I think. Ben, what do you think about that? Is this the first time we've talked about the electric universe idea? Or are you familiar with that from all of our crazy ramblings?
I mean, the first thing that I was even introduced for it, since I do have a small electric background was the documentary about all of these buildings that you end up seeing that are, you know, hundreds or thousands of years old, that typically it looks like there's the honeycomb pattern inside the dome. It's got a spire. Typically next to it, you have a gazebo or something like that, that is speculated to hold some form of capacitor or battery. The idea that harmonics inside of those domes, as well as them usually very, very normally next to water, for the same conductivity idea, is the idea that that grid pattern, whether it be ley lines or a just a more gridded out area, that they, you know, in essence stepped off in between cities and countries and whatnot. The star forts came into this as well. The idea that they made perfect symmetry without having the bird's eye view back when they were supposedly built. All of this idea that it was all electrically charged and connected. It's not the first time that I've heard about it. When you were mentioning the donut-shaped pattern that spires in your north and south poles and how it goes out, well, the same thing has been said for anti-gravity craft that have the same thing going around the craft, because what you're doing is you're bending as it goes, you're bending gravity around it, which also does time. So those two things go hand in hand. The other idea is that you're talking about micro and macro scale. If you take small buildings or things that have any kind of conductivity of north and south, and you have that donut pattern of both resistance and draw, then you take it up to a craft level, same thing. Then take it up to a globe level, if you are whatever that term is, with the north and south pole.
Heliotards.
It definitely would describe, if it was a globe and you have a north and south pole creating that donut shape, which is both gravity and anti-gravity, that would explain the same way that a craft can bend gravity to go through our atmosphere. It would explain, if the Earth is doing that on a macro scale, how it's bending to be gravity to be able to go through outer space without it, you know, at a crazy speed. The same way that you have a craft that can do it in our atmosphere, our world could be doing it in the larger sense. If that's the case, it's literally generating its own electricity, because when you have that travel, you're also still talking about it generating its own power because of the centrifugal force that is going into it. So I think that that's a really interesting idea. I mean, everything seems to be electrically charged. Everything has some kind of conductivity. It's why when you drag your feet, even with rubber shoes, inside of a house, you can shock another person, is because you've built up that static electricity and it does not take very much. So the idea that these are passing through, or that they found places where it was a lot more abundant, would make sense. I believe the Stonehenge is kind of the same idea. They found great, great fields of magnetism around Stonehenge and in the center of it. I think it's an interesting idea, but I also think that, along with how the pyramids were built and a bunch of other things, we lost or were purposely not told how these things were done, how they were made, and how they were supposed to be carried down. The withholding of truth, the destruction of truth. Whether you want to look at the Dead Sea Scroll, we didn't find the Dead Sea Scrolls until 1947, which is ironically at the same time that Roswell happened and everything that happened after World War II. So I think that the whole electrical field, plane, realm, world, whatever you want to call it, I think it's an interesting idea, but I don't think that, even if we got to a definitive answers on the ley lines and how that works, I don't think we would ever be told the truth anyway.
There was a huge wave of UFOs in 1947 too, like a massive wave of.
From 1947 to 1952, there seemed to just be nothing but, including them fucking up, like with the Roswell crash, and in originally showing the tinfoil that goes back to its shape. And
who was on the run in the late 40s?
Fucking Hitler.
Yeah, right. It was
Argentina,
Nazis,
baby.
Right. So was it them, you know, trying to scare the shit out of us or what?
Oh, well, probably. That's kind of what they thrive on, is scaring the shit out of us, no matter, you know, how they do it.
So this is what you're talking about.
For people on audio, Ryan's pulling up a a diagram of the pentagram of blood. So if
you so this is the American version. There's also a European version.
Right, before we go into this, here's my one issue with any of these diagrams and these ley line things. Look at the size of the line. Okay.
Right.
Think about how many miles wide that line is in real life, right? Even a pencil line on a map is going to be miles wide. It's not like we're talking about these thin little, you know, and that's one of the things people lose, what's it called? The relation to it in when they look at these maps, like, oh, this is for sure. But then you look at the size of the star and the size of the line. Like, these things could be off by hundreds of miles.
Right. Well, that's the thing, too. Like, you know, if we're finding patterns as, like, you know, fans of conspiracies and stuff, you got to have a little fun. And this stuff.
Oh, no, absolutely. But it's the people who run with this shit as, like, fact. Like gospel.
Dude.
And it's like, guys, take a step back. Hold on. There's a couple flaws in this.
I reached out to this dude, and he's a weird guy. Very, very interesting character. And, you know, I didn't end up, you know, talking with him much, but, you know, this is a book that is, you know, he based it around this. And then I think he did a sequel, which is the European one, which I'll show you, but it is interesting. And when you're looking at the lines,
it's not even a real pentagram, like,
right. The circles
all
and stuff,
oblong and cockeyed and shit. And like,
well, it's not going to be 100% symmetrical, but just the odds that it's like, you know, it's like this. And when you look at it, it looks like they're trying to say that Columbine's here in Utah, which, you know, the red goes off of the red line. That's why, like, the black letters are over the red lines, I guess. So that
look how big those fucking dots are.
Right.
Those stars. It's like, dude, the star, that one star is as big as Louisiana itself.
Yeah.
Wait, Ryan, I got a question for you. What is the significance? Because no offense, but just based on the five cities that connect the star points, it kind of looks like they pulled some cities out of a hat that could make the pentagram.
Right.
Did they give any kind of listing or explanation as to why those cities?
Well, no, I guess, you know, they're taking these things like it's, you know, this Canadian name of this city, which supposedly means evil, which I looked that up. It doesn't really mean evil.
That one ley line there that you see on the right-hand side of the map that goes from St. John's down through Mexico City, that's the line I was talking about before. That goes all the way through London.
Okay.
And that's so, so that may be one of the lines he started off that is considered a legitimate ley line, or, you know, as legitimate as they get.
Right. So, yeah, I mean, like, obviously there's, I don't think that this is gospel here, but it is interesting. And then when you look at the European one, can you still see this one?
Yep.
Okay. So this is the European version of it. So again, you know, just it's one of those things where you can kind of like let your mind like look into it and
bulge area.
Oh, I didn't see that one there. My bad. Yeah, there's some interesting ones, terrorism. You know what I mean? Yeah, I never heard of that, but yeah, it's kind of interesting, right? Like just the idea.
Like Matt was saying, though, that I love looking into this kind of stuff, but the people that run with it and think this is my life's mission now, it's like, and we've said it a bajillion times, like the people that are too sure of themselves, I run the other direction because I'm and like Matt, even when he came on talking about star forts and all this shit I've never heard of and the world's fairs and stuff that were weirdly left out of school. He's just showing us what he found. He's not like, this is exactly what it is. This is God's honest truth. Like, I'm living my whole life based on this. If he was like that, Matt and I would not be friends anymore. But he's not. So it's great.
Yeah. That's all, no one knows.
I got answers, man. That's part of the problem with my podcast is, and actually I had some guy on YouTube write like a comment on one of my videos that I never answer the question at hand. And I'm like, dude, you stupid fuck. I'm like, I don't have the answers. I'm like, if I had the answers, I'd probably have a better show, but the answers aren't here.
Well, no, if we all had the answers, we wouldn't be doing shows because we'd be living on another dimension or something. Like, we don't have the answers. We're still stuck here. Ben, sorry, go ahead. What's funny about the people that dedicate their whole lives of beating their big dumb faces into the same rock is that, unfortunately, And I don't usually begrudge people that do that or claim that it's law, because if go for it. My parents claim that Christianity is law, and go for it if that's what you want to do. But my thing is that it's the sacrifices of those people that bash their head against that same rock that eventually end up getting looked back on. I mean, Plato, Socrates, they were all looked at as fucking bananas. And then later on, we're looking back at it and we're like, God damn, they were fucking right. At least in some aspects. You might have to eat the meat and spit out the bones. But even the crazies that they end up going off the deep end and they're trying to figure all the shit out to match their new paradigm, a lot of times they end up making discoveries that you go, well, hold on a second. I don't think that their narrative is correct, but this is correct. And that puzzle piece actually belongs in this puzzle. And I go for it. I don't think I could ever be that latched on. Even to my own ideas and dots that I've connected, is I'm like, yeah, I'm probably fucking wrong. I don't know.
Yeah, we probably all are at some extent, but I mean, this is why I love people that actually look into this stuff. And I had this actually, you know, kind of a, somebody called me argumentative when we had Dr. Joseph Farrell on, because I was questioning his research. No, I was, and it wasn't even argumentative. He was like, well, I know this, and this, because I've done this much research. He's a great dude, great researcher. But I'm like, dude, how can you? So you're trusting the research you've done based on documents that you don't know their authenticity, or that, you know, you don't know if these are true either. We can look at all the documents we want all day. Like when people pull up one of the FOIA requests, or like, you know, CIA docs, they're like, we have the CIA document right here. It's like, well, now you're trusting them because you have an internal memo. Like, I still don't trust them. So who knows?
Well, that's the thing. You know, you go out there and you can pull these documents off the internet, but who knows if they're actually legitimate or not? I mean, even some of the old books that I read, I'm reading these things and I'm like, fuck, did somebody just make this as a ruse and put this out on the archives as like a book from the 1800s? Because it sounds like bullshit. But on the other hand, you look at some of the crazy shit that people wrote, it's like, okay, it could be it could make sense. But you have to be careful, because some of I think it's getting even worse with pictures. With the new AI art, I think so many people are getting duped and running with these fake pictures that, listen, guys, if you've never seen a picture before, there's probably a reason. It probably didn't exist until recently. So
yeah, it's like that website. That website that this person doesn't exist. Like, that is creepy as fuck. And we've been talking about kind of AI shit a lot. I'm sure everybody has, but that's kind of a great segue into that, because I don't think we're going to be able to believe literally anything for real in like 6 months to a year. It's getting that good where they're matching not only the AI thought patterns with like ChatGPT, but they're also combining it with fake voices and...
Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.
That's
a big video, and they're putting them all together, and they're, I don't know what to believe anymore. I mean, I don't know if you guys have heard this yet, but I fucked around with it a little bit.
Welcome to Legit Bat Podcast. This is Joe Rogan, and I'll be guest hosting on today's episode.
That sounds, for all intents and purposes, like him, and if you're not analyzing it.
Yeah, he was like, just was talking Rogan about that on his podcast.
I was just going to say that, yep.
And yeah, and he's like, and I, you can tell like right there, and he was spot on. Other than the inflection, you can't tell with these deep fakes, because like, and it's funny, because I was just going to share this real quick with you, because I found this article today about the U.S. military plans to use deep fakes and take over appliances for propaganda.
Okay, if you're seeing this real quick, if you're seeing this kind of a thing, that means they've already been doing it probably for a long
time. Exactly, that's what I was going to say. If it made it to the news, we've already been subject to this. So think about that. How much shit have you seen that isn't real? How many people probably have Biden you listened to or seen on a television or behind a screen that aren't real?
Well, if Dave Zed is to believe in clones, AI robots, and everything else, inhabiting meat suits is already a thing. You're talking about every sensory idea that you have potentially being fake. it will literally be whether you're watching it on TV, which we already all don't believe, but whether it be voice, text, sight, yeah, it doesn't matter. At this point, it's not very far away if it isn't already, where it doesn't matter if the people who are in front of you or the people you see on the screen, with the way that they can do CGI now, you're not going to be able to believe a fucking thing in front of your face. Like, we've always agreed, what you see now, like when we get off of here and we go out to the living room and we're spending time with our families or what the fuck ever, or, you know, Ryan and his dogs, those are real. And, you know, I can feel this. I scratch it. I get a reaction. And it's like, but for how much longer? Because no, I could see that going away.
If reality is just electrical impulses interpreted by the brain, then we are in, what does that sound like? A de facto matrix. Hmm. That means I don't even trust my own eyes anymore. And that could
Because what can they do, Joe? They can adjust frequencies that can impact our behaviors. So we're at the mercy of it, in a sense, right? We're like these things going around, and if they want to zap us with these waves, there's really nothing we can do to block it. And
they've been doing it for a long time too, dude. Like that, there's that Lavender Town syndrome from the Pokemon games in Japan, where kids were like fucking killing themselves when they would hear this tone in the old school Game Boys. So like that's back in like the early 2000s, late 90s, maybe even like mid to early 90s, right? So there's all kinds of things like that. And then also one thing I wanted to say earlier was that they're commercializing this AI technology so quickly because millions and millions of people are feeding the algorithms by typing shit in and then tweaking it a little bit. And it's so fun and it's so new. And we're actually like kind of helping speed up the process of this perfection of the commercialization of that shit. So it's interesting.
I think we have maybe 6 months before we just can't believe anything. I would normally say, oh, you know, 10 years or maybe 5 years. But at this point, with the rate that it's been rolled out just in the last like 3 months, I'm kind of scared to see what the next 6 months is going to look like. Because
yeah, it's almost like, you know, like you say, oh, go ahead, Jen.
I was just going to say, they put it out and say, look how fun this is. Check it out. Like you were saying, Ryan, they're helping us speed it up. Joe and I were messing around with, I don't know, it was something with ChatGPT or something the other day. And we thought it was so funny. We were making Kamala Harris and Donald Trump say silly shit and talking into it. And then,
oh, that was 11 Labs, the fake voice thing.
Yeah. It's all the same. They're just trying to. Well,
and they have that face filter now.
Yeah.
The new one that just came out, that's ridiculous. I mean, that thing is scary good.
Is that the Chinese monkey?
No, I mean, it's going to take catfishing to a whole new level, because it used to be that if you put on a filter, but you went like this, the makeup lips would go over your hand, and now it doesn't. It's seamless. Your movement, that means that you could do a video call from some dumb bitch that you met online, and now when you video chatter to authenticate, still may not be authenticated, because these filters don't just do makeup. They can literally take weight off and it not be like the old, like what you would see where people would put up their profile pictures to make themselves skinny, but you saw the warp behind them of trying to make that happen.
Hold their phone way the fuck up here for the angles.
Yes. All you can see is their tits without seeing the matching gut underneath of it.
We've all seen that TikTok lady. That's like the toothless lady, and when she puts on all the makeup and shit, she's like,
dude,
a dime.
Is that real? That can't be real, is it?
Yeah.
Oh yeah.
There's a bunch of them like that, and you can watch it slowed down where it's not a time lapse. Like, it's step by step. It's fucking bizarre.
Just put an actual chick in there and just hired some bum off the street. That is creepy as shit. First time I saw that, I'm like, oh, this is a joke. There's no fucking way. And then I was like, I can see that, actually.
No, that expensive makeup can do crazy things, it seems like.
Yeah, man. And fake teeth that you pop into your mouth and stick in a glass to defunk at the end of the day, those exist and have for a long time. It's fucking gnarly.
Not knowing. She's got her teeth out and she's just fucking... She's like, hi, honey.
That's funny what you're saying, though, Ben. Like, the background's, like, warped behind the skinny belly. Like, the TV looks like an hourglass, too. It's all fucked up. That's
and they're, funny. Like, they're like standing like this. And you know that if you reverse it, it's like this?
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. You can find whole lists of that shit on, like, Ranker, one of those dumb, you know, Daily Mail or whatever. There's whole lists of people that embarrass themselves on the internet. It is great fun. Because it's like, you're so... I don't even want to call you stupid. You're just clueless. Like the classic one of the chick with the sunglasses on, and she's like selfie with the duck lips, and she's like, oh my God, traffic. And you can see in her sunglasses that there's literally no one ahead of her on the road. It's like, what are you doing? What? Why would you even do that? Why would say that?
Joe, people need to create problems for themselves.
Drama. Got to create drama.
Right.
Because they don't have anything going on in their lives.
Well, no.
And those kind of people, others. Yeah.
Those kind of people, their friends are the kinds that know that they're lying, but still get on there and say, oh my God, totes. It's like, go fuck yourself. None of you guys are wasting space. But Joe, what you said about, 6 months from now. Yeah. I mean, with all of this stuff that's kind of coming about, regardless of industry, Elon Musk's industry, regardless of what you think of him, our elections, regardless of what you think of that, the Ukraine war, everything that's going on is I definitely don't think that it's a coincidence that all of these AI programs are coming out now, because we're halfway through one presidential election. What do you think that's going to look like in 2024 for the next presidential election? What if Biden ends up going and having a surgery, or really dies, and then all of a sudden he emerges from the surgery like an all put together human? It's like, oh, look, it's a miracle. He can talk straight. He can walk upstairs finally.
The Jim Carrey mask.
I mean, yeah. That's happened, I think, 4 or 5 times already, if you look at the different pictures of the guy. You know what I mean?
Oh, yeah.
Dude, can somebody please give that guy some rubber shoes? This motherfucker, how many times has he got to fall up the stairs
slipperier shoes so that he doesn't get back up?
Oh. Dude, I'm always trying to figure that out. Like, it's such a cartoon to watch him. I'm trying to figure out if that's actually organic and he really just is a senile old man that they're propping up like Weekend at Bernie's.
So, yes. They're letting him go. They're letting him have the time of his life.
Like, or is it just poke you in the eye,
Yeah, I think that it's that. I think it's the latter there, because like, you can't put on your pants backward by yourself, right? It takes somebody to zip up that zipper and button the button and lace the belt backwards too. And the dude, there's literally pictures of the guy walking around with fucking pants on backwards. So yeah, I think that you're onto something there with it's like, it's just sped up. It's meant to make it look totally crazy. And what do the people that hate him do? We just make fun of him. You know what I mean? It's not like we're seriously calling for impeachment. It's just making
who's
fun.
Who's it poking in the eye, though? The people like us that are looking at it and being like, this is a fucking cartoon. Or the people that still, after seeing all this, I guess they don't really see it, but the people that voted for him and support him, all this shit, like everything we talk about with fucking Biden, and they still are like, yeah, it's better than Trump, Like,
yeah. Those people are so far gone that it's like,
I think that's why they gave us Trump, was that no matter who they threw it at us afterwards, they could always say it's better than Trump, it's better than Hitler. It's always better than that guy, and it doesn't matter how bad he is or what he shit his pants in front of the Pope, for Christ's sake. I mean, how much worse does it get?
And he called him a black baseball player. Remember that?
Oh, man.
So, I mean, everyone's complaining about it too. I went to a smoke shop today. Speaking of the dogs, one of them broke the bong today, so that was a big issue.
It happens.
And I went in there, and even like the fucking hippie dude that, if he cares about politics whatsoever, he's on the liberal side, and he was bitching about Biden. You know what I mean? And now, yeah, I am in Arizona. I'm in Tucson, which is kind of more of a liberal city inside of a traditionally red state. Supposedly we're blue this year. I don't really, or this cycle. Don't
what
really
does
believe
that mean, though, anymore? I mean, blue is now pro-war. Like,
right,
I mean,
but I'm talking about, like,
it's like, what do those colors mean anymore? Because now they've, like, switched.
Switched before then, too.
Exactly. Right? Yeah. Like, I don't buy this whole bullshit about blue and red. It's just...
I'm speaking about the indoctrination. Like, the people that, like, the hippies somehow for the longest time have been, like, siding with academia, which is wild in its own right. Like, that's been kind of an interesting thing. And then it's like the people on the fringes of society and the people that try and like grow their own food and like the Second Amendment and don't get offended if you say fag or whatever, then you're on the red. I would still consider that to be red people, right, versus these blue people that are like don't offend anybody. There's, you know, refer to anybody by their proper pronouns and all this shit. Those people still seem to be, I think, Democrat, right? It seems, but
yeah,
I don't know. Weird. That's just what, like, I was observing.
The classic liberal was also the one that 30, 40 years ago were the ones into organic food and growing their own food and having chickens and all this hippie shit. And
anti-pharmaceutical, you know, right. Like it's totally flipped the last 5 years.
It flipped with Trump.
Yeah, it did. And the worst part is that, I mean, you don't know. And I think that's a huge part of the design, is that you don't know anymore when somebody says what they are politically, what that means. It used to be that if you said, I'm a conservative Republican, everybody kind of knew exactly what you were voting on, what your stance was. I'm a liberal, you know, Democrat. People now, you see a hell of a lot more without them labeling themselves as such. You see a lot more liberal conservatives or liberal Republicans and conservative liberals. There's old school liberals that were considered bleeding heart liberals that now are considered conservative. Like, they changed their views. Like, really? You're going to tell me that old wrinkly balls decided in the last 10 years he was going to change his stance after 60 years of not? No. Well, it's that both sides got fucking weird.
That's the skewed logic from the progressives, though, is that anything that's to the right of being an extreme progressive is alt-right now. That's
right.
You'd be so far to the left that you're, I don't know, doing BLM protests. But if you don't respect somebody's pronouns, you are now alt-right and a Trump supporter. That's the weirdest shit ever. I'm like we've said a million times, there's like a 90% in the middle of these two extremes that don't buy into any of that shit. But
you can just disagree on one thing and you're out of their club.
Like J.K. Right? Rowling, dude.
Yeah, I mean, it's just you say the wrong thing once and you are the devil. You are the pariah of society.
That was so bizarre to me when they started labeling her as that. Because I remember when the Harry Potter books came out, my parents as Baptists were like, it's witchcraft, it's demonic.
The devil, the devil.
It's, and she was all about women's right to choose.
Well, I think she's gay, isn't she?
Yeah, and that's the thing, is that she was like stereotypical at the top of the pyramid when you considered yourself a bleeding heart liberal for the 90s. And now they're calling her all kinds of stuff. But they did the same thing
with Jimmy Dore, Ben. The same thing they did to him. I mean, he's a liberal at heart, or an old school liberal, and now they consider him a Republican. He's
an conservative. Old white racist.
Yeah,
it's fucking bananas. They did the same thing to Graham Hancock. He came out with Ancient Apocalypse, which, regardless of what you think about it, I fucking applaud Netflix for putting that on, because Graham Hancock has literally been bashing his head against this wall for the last 30, 40 years, and he's finally getting some attention on it, whether or not you believe it or not. The second it came out, people started calling him racist.
Which is hilarious.
It's fucking bananas. It's like, what about an Ancient Apocalypse has anything to do with race?
He's countering academia, and that's what the progressives love. Is there?
By the way, his wife is brown.
Right. Yeah, that got brought up. Yeah.
I mean, just maybe we could throw that out there. But he's
it
a racist.
It doesn't matter. You can still be racist even if you
dude, there's black people that are white supremacists. It's beautiful. I mean,
dude,
what
remember
kind of
when
world
that
we live in?
There was that dude, I forget his name, the black guy that was running for governor of California. You remember his name? Black guy, California governor? No.
Was he a Republican?
I remember. He was Republican. There
the guy that got the eggs thrown at him
by a fat white lady who called him a white supremacist.
Oh, that's right. I remember that. Yeah.
You know,
he was so shocked. He's all, I'm black. And she was, it didn't do anything.
He's like, I am visibly black. Like, look at me. Well, this isn't surgery.
There's a guy that works with the, it's a Charlie Kirk's organization, who I'm not that big of a fan of or at all.
He's funded by the fucking the Koch brothers.
Yeah, like he started Young America's Foundation, which is the organization that puts conservative speakers in colleges. People like Ben Shapiro. Well, part of that organization was Colonel Alan West, a black gentleman who is amazing. And he's also a history buff or expert. And I can't remember which one, but he went into a school campus and this non-white female walked up to the mic and said, first of all, I have one question. She had such an attitude from the minute she got up there. Do you identify as black? The whole crowd started laughing. He goes to answer. She keeps talking. And he goes, she cuts him off. I would like to finish my question, please. And he goes, I'm trying to answer your first one. Yeah, I'm black. And I'm like, do you identify? Are we seriously doing this? Are we identifying as other skin colors? Like, dude,
so the best thing about all this, though, is that it's got so fucking crazy that it's not going to last that long. People are starting to see through this, I hope.
Yeah.
And it is starting to swing where people are making fun of this shit more and more and more and in the open. And it's like, we all see it. It's the elephant in the room that nobody's talking about. And it's like, there's a,
it's going to be like a COVID vax
right there.
Where
see, but the all problem,
the COVID vax thing, but yeah. Everyone came up and rose up against it.
What's scary though, is that pendulum swinging hard to the right. You know, that to me is a scary thought.
It's going just as that bad.
Ultra, yeah. Exactly. It's just as bad, but people are like, oh, it's got to be better than this. No, we swing hard, extremely to the right, and you're going to be bitching just the same. Just you'll have a lot harder time doing it.
Yeah, exactly. It's the lesser of two evils, and we're always going to bitch about one. Like, you know, I hate winter, so I'm bitching right now about winter, but I know when summer comes and it's 110 fucking degrees, I'm going to bitch about that too. So pick your, you know, maybe you just have to appreciate the in-between times, you know, where everything's relatively normal.
Or can we just bring back common sense? Wouldn't that be fun?
It's not so common.
If everyone have common sense. Yeah. But if everybody had common sense, we wouldn't give a shit about what other people were doing. We wouldn't care if they identified as something because we wouldn't be required.
No, see, we do, though. But if
they wouldn't require us to do so.
Now, if everybody just think like we do. I'm just kidding.
Yeah, the problem is social media is real life to too many people. And that's the echo chamber that people get trapped in. And then they bring those stupid, unrealistic arguments out into reality, you know? And that's where we are right now. Like, I mean, I love using this little town that I'm in as an example, because every Monday there's these boomers that are out in the street corner with Black Lives Matter signs or end racism, end police brutality signs. And it's like, guys, this isn't something that affects your community. So why don't we take your effort and put it to something worthwhile in this community? But they're so blind to the greater good and the virtue signaling that
they just want validation. Everyone wants validation for what they're doing, even on social media. Hey guys, I had a bad day. I'm going to post this very vague thing, hoping that everybody likes it, loves it, does the care emoji and comments. What happened? And then I won't even respond, just to be really
dude,
it.
That's such a trope now, too. And people should know that when you're doing shit like that, you know, that's something people are, I mean, I guess they don't really care if people make fun of them, but that's such a trope now where you're like, oh, I had the worst day ever. And that's it. I just keep scrolling. I'm like, I'm not even engaging.
I thought about deleting those people. I'm an adult. I don't delete people from my Facebook, but I'm like, I don't want to see shit like this anymore.
It's like,
what? A yearly fucking purge on my Facebook. Are you shitting me? I'm like, nope. I don't want anything to do with them.
That's when Instagram needs the dislike button. You know what I mean? Like, you have to be able to downvote posts or the reaction videos. I say it almost every episode now. I'm tired of seeing reaction videos. It's fucking hacky as shit. And it's so stupid. Matt and I are thinking about starting a reaction to reaction videos and see how crazy it gets.
They've already been done. They have reactions.
Fuck.
Yes, absolutely. It's actually a thing because my fucking 10-year-old was trying to research this video game and he wanted review, and instead he clicked on reaction to a video game, which can sometimes be, it can give you some information. But he was like trying to go down this thing, and then there was, because it was a big producer on YouTube.
Ben's getting sucked into the reaction videos. Some of them are good.
A smaller chance. No, I said some of them can be useful if you're talking about video games. Fuck you. So a lot of times what they'll do is they'll have like a smaller channel, watch the larger channel's reaction and react to the reaction.
Hey, if everyone's creating content these days, if that's going to get some people some eyeballs. I mean, dude, some of those things, like Jen, you were mentioning, like when people are just bitching about their day. It's not as bad as some girl with a big fat ass and she's like doing something that accentuates her ass. And then she's got like some kind of like inspirational quote. behind it. It doesn't even reference her ass, but it's like, you know, it's always darkest before dawn, and it's just an ass shot, you know?
Meditating half naked, but she's like, just love yourself.
Okay. Yeah.
I love the ones that are
where the zipper just pops her tits out. You know, it's just like, come on.
You ever see those ones that come across your feed where it's like ass cheeks clapping together? Yeah. I don't understand that. What the fuck is that?
Well, I see them a lot because I click on them. So the algorithm is feeding them to me more. But one thing, too, I wanted to I think, Ben, you were bringing up, was it you that was bringing up Charlie Kirk?
Yeah.
So I'm looking into this Coast to Coast AM show, right? Like one of the OG conspiracy shows. And I'm trying to like figure out like why that was allowed to be on the air. Do you guys know who runs that and who founded it, who started it, other than Art Bell?
No.
It's actually a subsidiary of iHeartMedia. Okay, so this is like one of the biggest media publications out there. It was Clear Channel that was a subsidiary of iHeartMedia, and they've consolidated to just being iHeartMedia. And the two dudes that were really behind it, Lowry Mays and Red McCombs, have ties to Blackwater. So I mean, that's like the mercenary group that was. I mean, they're very, very big into funding like the Bush administration and Dick Cheney and all this shit. And that is what a lot of like conspiracy people started getting interested in this kind of research and in these kinds of topics was based off of Art Bell's show, Coast to Coast AM, right? Now George Norrie runs it. And I mean, all the people that were guests on the show, there was a guy that was a JFK expert. His name's slipping my mind right now. But he was present during the Jonestown massacre, and he was evicted like hours before that because he was there studying it for the CIA. So it's like all these people that were on there, the head exorcist of the Vatican was a regular guest.
They have a head exorcist?
What a dope. Like the head, like the one that ran the exorcist department or the exorcism department, right? Whatever the fuck they call these people. It's all fraudulent shit.
Secretary of Exorcisms.
Yeah, Keanu Reeves, and his name is Constantine.
Yeah, yeah. Well, so his title, I'm trying to find his name here because, yeah, dude, it's just, it's shady shit. Father Malachi Martin.
Yeah, I don't trust anybody that goes by the title Father. No.
Well, that's the thing. And he's a Jesuit, ex-Jesuit,
of course.
Member of Opus Dei. I mean, he's you know, traditionally just a total piece of shit, but and also he was the official spokesperson for the Vatican when he was making appearances on the fucking show. So do you think the Vatican's going to allow somebody on a conspiracy show that's going to expose anything?
No.
That's, you know what I mean?
All controlled opposition.
Exactly. So it's like, you know, how far down does this go?
Right.
And it's interesting. You know, it's kind of like we got into the wrong industry if we're trying to, you know, make any kind of like, you know, solid living or make any kind of money on this shit. Because you only get to a certain spot and then you're just like basically confirmed controlled opposition at a certain point. Right.
Oh,
so
yeah.
It's kind of funny. But at the same time, I like looking into it.
Well, that was actually just brought up on Rogan. One of the guys that he had on, I think it was yesterday. Or maybe it was the day before. I don't know. It was the guy that started outing FTX and that whole
Coffeezilla. Thing that
happened. Coffeezilla, that's what it was. And he was saying, he goes, that's the funny part is that when you're an up and comer and they let it happen so that you can get all your content out there, it's kind of like one of those, like you see a spy walking in your city, but you don't nab him at the gate. You go, wait, let's let him go. I want to find out what he's after. And so you let it happen for a little bit. He goes, and then you hit a plateau and you get all of the pushback. He's a liar. He's a shill. He's a fraud. And then when you hit the next one, because of those two arguments, nobody believes you because you've had opposition from the one side. And now the other side is going, he's a little too popular to be speaking our side of the truth. So maybe he's controlled opposition. And then you're just fucked because nobody believes you on either side, even if you really are trying to tell the truth.
Right.
Well, that's the thing, too.
What we kind of started with. Oh, sorry. Just that came back to what we kind of started with is not knowing what to believe anymore. And that's also a tool of that. It's the propaganda mechanism to make it. It's like Bill Casey said, I think it was Bill Casey, right? That said, our job will be complete when everything the American people believe is false. I mean, here we are. Thanks. I mean, good job. They did a fantastic job.
Not knowing what to believe is just as good, though. Nobody knows where to look.
Right.
Well, that's healthy too. It's healthy to be dogmatic, if you want to call it that. Like if you just like fall into something like that.
Yeah, blind faith will get you killed. That's for sure.
The every time. It is interesting that they're talking about that on Rogan, because he, I think, is the best at what he does. And when I say the best at what he does, I think he's the best at selling people a fake bill of goods. Like, I really don't trust Rogan at all. He's had great guests on. I mean, there's videos of like his mom or his dad and his sister talking about everything that he says is fucking fake. You know what I mean? Like, that dude's a total sellout. And even when he started his show.
Can you trust that? That this is exactly the rabbit hole, because everything now that you view or hear is subjective, and it's all subjective on whether or not you prefer what somebody is saying or you don't. And that's my thing. I don't give a fuck if Rogan is fake, and I don't give a shit if all of his guests are fake. It is interesting as shit, and it gets work done faster.
Right. It's definitely interesting, but I tend to believe the people that don't have the $100 million Spotify deal. You know what I mean? Like, I kind of trust them because they're not going to put out information based off of certain things. There's that kid Matthew North that really did a lot of like exposing of Joe Rogan and Alex Jones, and then this guy kills himself, right? It was a young kid. It was a very interesting video. He's got an incredible video.
What's his name?
Matthew North. Okay. Not Peter North. Not the porn star.
That's a whole different thing. Thanks
That's a different that thing.
Pistol Pete.
Right. What is that website? I think it's like Real Documentaries, Matt. We talked about it briefly.
Yeah, it's Real Documentaries.
You can go to realdocumentaries.com, I think it is, or just type in Real Documentaries. It's like a YouTube alternative. And he has, and that's where I learned about Russian Cosmism, is that he was saying that Rogan and Jones are pushing Russian Cosmism to, you know, it's like reanimating the dead, pumping psychedelics and, you know, narcotics and even like strong weed out to the public and normalizing it and all this shit. And it's wild stuff. And I definitely trust somebody like that, and it's a shame that that's kind of what it takes. It's like the witch trial shit, right? Like the lady sank in the river. So yeah, I guess she wasn't a witch. Our bad. She fucked up. This dude ends up supposedly killing himself. And, you know, his work is mind blowing. He's a younger kid. But yeah, definitely check out his work, dude. Matthew North.
Interesting. Yeah, I've never heard of that guy. And like Ben was saying, though, it's so hard, because I know you guys have both heard this, but you can find anything on the internet to support your point, no matter what you have. You do enough Googling or DuckDuckGoing, whatever your fucking search engine is, and you will find enough supporting things, including official documents, medical studies, all that stuff, to support what you're saying, because it's so vaguely worded a lot of the times where you're like, no, this is what it means. And I think that's why it's so easy for the media to twist things too, is because even medical studies and scientific shit is so...
Well, they don't even have to twist it, Joe. They can just leave stuff out.
Yeah, there's that too.
That's easy. It.
I mean, it's not even a big deal anymore. People are yawning over at CNN like, oh, I got our jobs in the bag here. It was so fucking easy to fool all these people. But, you know, here we are just left trying to have these talks and figure out what the fuck's going on. But we got to get out of here. Ben has bed time. I don't know if I have to work tomorrow yet. It depends on how much it snows tonight. But you can find Dangerous World everywhere. All you have to do is Google it. And Great Deception, same fucking thing, I think. But Instagram's kind of all of our main hubs for our link trees and all that shit. So anything else you guys got before we get the fuck out of here? Any words of wisdom or profound advice?
Matt?
Crickets. All right.
Dude, you're asking the wrong person for advice right now.
Hey. All right, fine. I'll say it.
Okay.
Don't be an asshole. Do a lot of drugs if you want. Yeah, that's it.
Yeah, my closing argument is usually use your turn signals. That's it. I drive for a lick. Like, just that's it. Just use your turn signals. We'll be good.
Nah, nigga.
All right, guys.
Oh, my God. Fuck.
I love that. Hey, just for you.
Nah, nigga.
I thought Ben said that for a second.
Fuck no. Jesus.
Like the whitest guy here, and he's throwing that around.
Vampire.
Have a great night. We will talk to you soon.
Say
goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.